Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, January 16th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Laramie County Commissioners have unanimously approved a massive AI data center project. Wyoming News Now's Akili Bonner reports the project's possible impacts to the area necessitated the vote.
Commissioner Gunnermalm explained pieces of the project he took as important, one being is how this project will utilize Wyoming's, quote, legacy industry of natural gas as its power production, as the planned power plant will produce natural gas, and that natural gas will stay here.
You know, by and large, lots of Wyoming gas that'll, instead of producing power that is shipped out of the state of Wyoming, like we see with much of our mineral industry, that'll be utilized here in Laramie County and in Wyoming.
Other things to note, according to Malm, is knowing residents' energy bills are not going to be affected, and due to new technologies, the water usage will be minimal. Additionally, he feels that having this center will increase Wyoming's role in the defense of our nation.
The battle for electrons is the 21st century battlefield, and Laramie County's always played a huge role in that with our nuclear deterrence and with F.E. Warren and what our capabilities are there.
That's Wyoming News Now's Akili Bonner reporting. The Further Right Wyoming Freedom Caucus released its legislative priorities this week ahead of the February budget session. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements has more.
The caucus said it wants to pass bills requiring pen and paper ballots, expand parental rights, and ban, quote, obscene pornographic materials from children's sections in all libraries. But caucus chair Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams of Cody says there's a clear front runner.
Our top priority this session is to right-size the state's budget.
As in, bring state spending below pre-pandemic levels. The chair of the committee marking up the draft budget, Representative John Baer of Gillette, says fears about what his panel is up to are overblown.
We've had a lot of squealing going on in the JAC from the Democrats and the Republicans that really should be Democrats, because they say that you were just destroying government.
In recent days, the caucus made cuts to the University of Wyoming, tribally run medical facilities, reimbursement rates for mental health providers, and moved to get rid of the state's Economic Development Agency. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements in Lander.
This week, lawmakers backed projects to support fisheries and manage invasive species, but actually funding them is a bit uncertain. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports.
Starting a fish screen project on the South Fork of the Shoshone River, helping trout move on the Upper Gray Bowl, spraying cheatgrass around the state. Those are some of the projects set to get funding through the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust this year.
I don't have to tell you what the risk of cheatgrass is. It's massive.
That's Bob Budd, director of the trust. It helps fund projects to enhance and conserve wildlife habitat and natural resources. But he told lawmakers, there's an important piece missing.
All these cheatgrass ones are incumbent on us receiving cheatgrass funding that we did not get last year when the supplemental budget got stranded.
Bud says cheatgrass mitigation is a big part of wildfire mitigation and less expensive than fighting fires. Lawmakers from the Natural Resources Committee will bring the bill to fund the projects to the budget session. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Last year, the Indian Health Service funded tribal health facilities in Mountain West states, including Montana and Wyoming. As Gabriel Pietrazio reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, the Akchin Indian community in Arizona is among the beneficiaries of IHS funding.
The tribe's chairman, Gabriel Lopez, is grateful.
Currently, we have a satellite facility, which is 2,000 square feet. It's a triple white trailer with minimal services.
Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. met with the Akchin Indian community in November. After that visit, he made a social media post with Lopez.
The elders in the community have to drive 60 to 80 miles to get decent care, and they have to go through Maricopa County with all the traffic, so it's an inconvenience, and it can be a lethal inconvenience.
Akchin will construct a 60,000-square-foot facility and lease it at no cost to IHS for two decades. In exchange, the agency will lobby Congress on behalf of the tribe for federal funding to staff and maintain the building.
In a roundabout way, we're looking at maybe about 2 years to be up and running.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Piatarazzo.
National park goers will not get free admission on Martin Luther King Jr. Day this year. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports on how that represents a change from years past.
When the National Park Service announced 8 free entry days for 2026, both Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Juneteenth were left off the list. They were replaced by other days, including Flag Day, June 14th, which coincides with President Trump's birthday. The shift was rebuked by the national president of the NAACP, who called it an attack on the truth of this nation's history. Omar Montgomery leads the Rocky Mountain chapter, and he agrees.
This is another way that the federal administration is undermining and trying to erase the contributions of Black people in the United States.
The National Park Service started free entry days in 2009, and Martin Luther King Jr. Day was on the list in 2011. Even with no waived entry this year, several Park Service sites and nonprofits are continuing to hold days of service to honor the civil rights leader's legacy. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Wyoming Department of Transportation has started a state rail plan. It's meant to serve as a long-range planning document for rail infrastructure and improvements. Currently, WIDOT is offering an online meeting, available at any time, to provide background. The agency is also asking the public to fill out a survey that asks questions about potential investments and safety to the current rail system and the importance of a potential passenger rail. For more information, head to WyomingStatewideRailPlan.com. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Converse County has been named the inaugural recipient of the Benjamin Franklin Award for Open Government from the Wyoming Press Association. The new award will be presented every month to honor local governments with an exemplary commitment to transparency, accountability, and public access to information. The Sheridan High School boys basketball team recently won a national tournament. The Sheridan Press reports the Bronx won all 3 games by double digits at the Cactus Jam in Arizona. In addition, Nate Miner was named tournament MVP, and Johnny Spielman was named to an all-tournament team. 3 former University of Wyoming Cowboys represented the school at a nationwide showcase last weekend. Oil City News reports center Jack Walsh, guard Caden Barnett, and tight end Evan Svoboda played in the Hula Bowl in Florida. The game is played by some of the nation's top seniors. A local dog contest blew fundraising expectations out of the water. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports the Cutest Canines Calendar Contest raised over $3,000 for the Red Desert Humane Society and local animal control. A dog named Donald won the contest, becoming the calendar's cover image. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. By how much has Wyoming's population grown since the year 2000? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what was the coldest temperature ever recorded in Wyoming? That was 66 degrees below zero, and it was set on February 9, 1933 at the Riverside Ranger Station in Yellowstone National Park. Congratulations to Amanda Huntsman, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy your holiday weekend and join us again on Tuesday. Thank you.